Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Another full weekend of Penn State football. We're diving into recruiting today. Hi, this is BWI Live. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. We are talking Penn State football recruiting. They got a commitment over the weekend, so the recruiting experts, Ryan Snyder, Sean Fitz, going to break that down, plus all the things you need to know coming out of what happened from Friday to Sunday with Penn State football. A big weekend. We can't wait to get to it, so let's not wait anymore. Let's get to the BWI Live recruiting show. What better way to start your Monday than with talking about Penn State football? I'm Thomas Frank Carr. My internet says things are terrible right now, so I'm going to just start right off with this. Hey, Fitz, am I glitchy as heck right now? Can you see me?
You're actually okay. I mean, you don't have a beard anymore, which is a little unsettling, but other than that, you're coming through pretty well.
So we had to do some yard work this weekend, and I did not want to have beard tan lines in the spring. So I just decided it's time, you know, winter's over. I was hoping to do something fun with it, but at the same time, like, I backed myself into a corner with that one. It became such a thing, so I had to kill it. But other than that, it was a good weekend. What'd you guys get up to? Nothing too much, right, Ryan?
I worked. Constantly.
I know, that's why you're here. We want to know more. Ryan, a little bit
it was a good
weather
weekend,
today. So appreciate you being here, Ryan. Sorry that it was a weekend full of sounds like cough drops.
It's your job,
phone
man.
Calls.
Yeah. No, it was a good weekend for Penn State. Obviously a big commitment there. Luke Reynolds, we'll get into that in a second. But I mean, I did a little yard work myself, but we are I don't know. I might be off tomorrow, guys. This is not going well at the moment.
I want to start with you, though, because Fitz and I talked about Luke Reynolds on Saturday. If you want to see the full video, you can check it here out here on our YouTube channel, our breaking news video of Luke Reynolds' commitment. Just want to get your overall thoughts on Reynolds, his fit, and the story that got us to him being a Penn State Nittany Lion. What were your thoughts on the commitment this weekend?
Well, it's there's a couple ways, I guess, you got to him being Penn State's tight end commit. One, I mean, Ty Howe shoots incredibly high, right? You know, goes for Brady Prescore and Caleb Odom. You got Hogan Hansen. You got some other guys. And I still wouldn't be surprised if they take official visits. But, you know, the writing is kind of on the wall. Brady Prescore is expected to stay close to home. Caleb Odom just grabbed offers from Georgia and Alabama. So, you know, I just don't think those recruitments are trending where they're realistic for Penn State at the moment. And then you have Luke Reynolds, who came to Penn State last year. Of course, he's played quarterback primarily, comes to Penn State camp last year and was excellent. I mean, his testing numbers are very, very impressive, you know, for a 6'4", 215, you know, running a 4'6". You know, I think his broad jump was almost 10 feet. Like, he is a great athlete. You know, you just didn't – you kind of similar to Tyler Warren, right? You didn't have the film of – or at least a complete season of film of him playing tight end. So – yeah, they tread water there and or just, you know, take their time, I guess, is the best way to put it when it comes to offering. But Luke was really starting to pick up offers. Kentucky offers in the beginning of January, and he's up close to, I don't know if it's a dozen or so offers, or he's up over a dozen, I believe it is. But he's got some good quality Power 5 offers. They couldn't keep waiting longer. Like, they had to make a move. You're either going to offer Luke Reynolds or you're going to end up falling off because all these other schools are going to get momentum. Now, I didn't see Luke Reynolds committing a week after, but once he got that offer and talking to people, Sean, you and I have talked to multiple people now that said, like, this kind of has to be our guy this year. We have to get him.
Yeah, the logic pointed straight to him, like, coming out of that visit. Like you said, it was not expected to be a turnaround time of a week, but Like, this was the guy that we came out saying, hey, this guy's probably going to end up in Penn State's class. You know, from talking to people on this side, it seemed like they wanted to go out and see him a little bit in spring and figure out if he, you know, catch the ball, actually play the position. You know, he's got some of that on tape, but he doesn't have all of it on tape. So I could see a scenario where they would have waited till April or May till they get out on the road, see him, and then make that decision. But that's a long way off in recruiting speak. I know it's just next month, the next 6 weeks or so, but that's a long way off when you're talking about waiting around for a guy. And this is a guy that's going to go out and visit other schools and things like that. And if you think that he is there, like, already, like, they felt good about taking him last week. That's kind of how the offer came about and everything. But you always like to check those boxes. You always like to do the extra research and things like that. So that's kind of where they found themselves. And then late last week, I think it was Friday, got a call. Hey, just keep an eye on this one. He came in to visit. He was not on our visitor list last week. And I got some crap from some buddies that were like talking about the podcast the other day. I was like, no, not expecting a commitment. Yeah, he wasn't on the visit list, so we didn't really account for him at that point. So later that day, we typed up a commitment story, recorded that thing on Saturday, and Luke Reynolds popped that as I'm driving through downtown. So, Ryan, thanks for covering for that one. appreciate that. That was not ideal timing on my part. But
so literally everyone was downtown because I was also downtown doing some stuff, delivering magazines to local businesses. So literally everyone was out and about on a Saturday when he committed.
Who would think to be out and about on a Saturday afternoon, you know, especially with busy day in Happy Valley. So no, good pickup. And this is stuff that we talked about on the show or on the video the other day. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. Like this video, like that video, like all the videos that we're in, if you can. But no, it's a good pickup for Penn State. And I think it's really just following the logical path of clues here. This is a guy that was going to end up in this class, regardless of whether it happened over the weekend or whether it happened in June.
This is BWI Live. I'm Thomas Frankar. We are live here on YouTube. So if you want to ask a question of the experts about recruiting, if you want to get your thoughts on the channel, it does not have to do with my facial hair. We can talk about recruiting as well, although I appreciate it. I enjoy, or at least I should appreciate people noticing when things change. It's like when your wife cuts her hair and you don't notice, like it hurts a little bit.
I mean, it's deep. Right.
You look like a decade younger, buddy.
By a 14-year-old, so it's kind of a little bit different than we're used to seeing.
So since the last time we talked about Luke Reynolds, Fitz, he is now an 87 overall and a 3-star in the On 300. Also 85 overall in the industry ranking. I want to get one quick thought about this, and I don't know if you have any insight into this. How does a guy go from deciding to be a quarterback prospect, camp with Penn State as a quarterback last year, and then decide to be a tight end? Does Penn State kind of look at some of those guys, say, okay, those are great testing numbers. We love that. We don't love him as a quarterback. Maybe we wait until he makes that decision. Does Penn State put that in his ear? How does that kind of conversation with a guy like Tyler Warren, who we've talked about a lot before, and then Luke Reynolds, how does that transition happen?
It usually happens when they pull you out of the line at camp from being a quarterback and say, hey, run some routes. That decision is usually made for you. There's a pretty stark difference between being a good high school quarterback and a quarterback prospect at this level. So I think that kind of the writing is on the wall there, but they talk to him about it. I mean, you see the testing numbers that Ryan pointed out earlier, and it kind of points in that direction. And same thing with Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren was actually committed to Virginia Tech as a quarterback. And as time went along, it was pretty apparent that he wasn't going to be a college quarterback. That's arm talent. That's a lot of things that go into it. But you got to move in that direction at some point. Some people don't accept it. You know, it's one of those things. If you're a quarterback, you're probably a quarterback for life. You've been playing since Pee Wee, and you've always been the guy. So it's tough to give up. But when you talk about the reality of, hey, you're going to go play quarterback and you're probably a Division II quarterback, but you might be a Division I FBS Power 5 Big 10 Penn State level tight end, that's a pretty, I don't want to say easy decision, but that's a pretty clear cut decision for the player to make. So they get pushed in that direction, no doubt. And to be honest with you, high school coaches are really helpful in this because they're some of the more realistic people. I mean, depending on which high school coach you find, but they're some of the more realistic guys out there. They've seen guys that have come through they know for the most part what a college quarterback looks like, and they know what one doesn't look like. And I think that that helps to say that. And, you know, it's a situation where he's at, where he had to play quarterback, and he also did a little bit of the other stuff. But now that writing is more than on the wall, because Dante Reno is coming in, the South Carolina quarterback commit. He's actually a quarterback. He's going to play quarterback. He's an FBS quarterback commit, obviously. But you can push him in that direction. And this kid seems to be a team player. It's sometimes the biggest jump is accepting it and thriving with it. And, you know, Tyler Warren did that. Like, Tyler Warren was not expecting, when he went around his recruitment the second time after committing to Tech as a freshman or sophomore, I believe it was, he had fully embraced that he was not going to be a quarterback. Like, and that's the biggest thing, is to get that out of your head, that you're going to be this guy that's, you know, taking all the snaps and getting all the glory and everything like that, to play a position like tight end, which is kind of the opposite. It takes a while to sink in, and Warren did that. And it seems like Reynolds did that as well.
When it comes to the class of 2024, we had a bit of a conversation about this on Saturday, but Ryan, something that you and I have talked about before, and I want to underscore this: Kenny Woosley, Anthony Specka, Kerry Jackson, and now Luke Reynolds, Kari Jackson, excuse me. These guys Cooper feel Cousins, like found, so. And Cooper Cousins. I do want to get to that in just a second, but these guys feel like specific foundational pieces in this class. We've talked about NIL a lot, and Cooper Cousins obviously is a highly rated recruit. He's in the On 300. He's kind of separate from this conversation, but is NIL pushing more guys like Cooper Cousins into the summer during official visit weekend? It seems like there's just less of those guys making that decision now. And this is in no way to diminish anything that these other guys that I've talked about are capable of, but they are 3-star prospects currently rated in a general area versus some of the 4-stars and high 4-stars. It doesn't seem like as many of those guys are committing right now. Is NIL a part of that, or is this just a specific cycle and every year is different?
No, I don't think NIL has anything to do with it.
Okay.
I don't really think it's that much different. I mean, Penn State doesn't have quite the amount of commits that they have had in previous years, but it's still the same cycle. It's still you know, you got your junior days, they lay a foundation, you have the games before, you know, in the previous season that lay stuff, but like, these spring visits are when kids figure out where they're going to take official visits, and then they take official visits, and then they'll end up committing. So like, Penn State may not have they were averaging what, maybe 7-8 by this time, if you look at over previous years, maybe even more, like 6-7. I mean, they're at 5, so they're not, I just think it's really not that much different. They don't have quite the amount that they've had in previous years, but NIL has nothing to do with it. I mean, you can look at Southern schools that are offering 5 times, you know, what you can get up for Penn State or some of these other schools. Yeah, I'm sure maybe there's some examples there where guys like, hey, you know, the money they're talking about, I should take this while I have it. But I don't think any kid is committing early to Penn State because of NIL. I just don't think that's in the discussion right now.
I would add to that, and I think we talked about this the other day, T. Frank, is like, if anything, NIL is delaying it because kids are waiting to see what they can get, and it's probably not as much as they think. Like, there's certainly money out there, but I think they're kind of waiting to see, hey, this guy got that, so can I get that? Like, that's kind of the scenario that I mm-hmm. see, and that's probably something that lends itself toward official visits as they continue to grow. And as we mentioned the other day, the recruit, you look at the top 10 recruiting rankings, I think 5 schools in the top 10 just have 5 commits like Penn State. So Penn State is not an outlier in this scenario. There are some schools that have gone on some runs. There are some schools that are on some runs right now. But as Ryan said, that's kind of typical for every cycle. Really, the last couple of years when they started the June official, or the April to June official visit window, that has really slowed things down. So you look in maybe 5 years ago, maybe there's 8 or 9 guys in this class, whereas now it's 5. I don't see the difference as appreciable as I mean, I don't think it's a big subject changer or anything like that.
One last question before we get into recruiting weekend and some of your thoughts about players and things that stood out. And that comes from Trent here on the YouTube channel. If you want to get a question on the show, as always, if you want to donate and you want to give a super chat, we always appreciate that. The tip jar is open. We don't have a chip jar. Sorry, I don't have any chips to pass out. But Trent wants to know, how's the progress with Quentin Martin? And Ryan, I believe you Got some information, which you can check out BlueWhiteIllustrated.com last week. Is there anything you want to update here on the YouTube channel or where you want to point people to get more information about Quentin Martin and his recruitment?
Yeah, I would definitely point you towards our $30 promotion. Goes until the start of the season, 2023 football season. I mean, here's what I'll say. He's visiting today. So come back next week and I can maybe give you a better answer. If he's coming on campus today, I would hope at some point we can, catch up with Quentin and his family here in the coming days. But I would expect him to stay north, and I would expect Penn State, Pitt, Ohio State to be one of the three schools he ends up at. Is Penn State trending well? I mean, they have a substantial edge when it comes to visits. I would say that other schools are certainly very much in the mix. Like when you look at the visits as recruitment, you would think, Penn State should be a heavy favorite here. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I do think NIL is going to have an impact on this recruitment as well. So Pitt, Penn State, Ohio State, if he doesn't end up at one of those three schools, I'd be pretty surprised.
And if you want more information, you can always try and ask the guys here, but BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, $29.99, as he said, you get inside access until next football season. So make sure you take advantage of good value when you have it. And that's something we'll keep you updated at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for. Right now, I want to get to something before we open up recruiting weekend, and that is My Perfect Franchise. Listen, everyone wants to live an awesome life. Everyone wants to have the best possible life and career that they can possibly have. If you're stuck in the corporate rat race, why would you continue down a path that's making you miserable? That is what Andy Ledecky asked himself a couple years ago. And he got into franchising of businesses. He's been very successful at it, and he learned quite a bit. Now he wants to share that information with you. So if you're looking for a side hustle, or you want to diversify, build wealth, or leave a legacy, check out MyPerfectFranchise.com. Andy Ledecky is a franchise consultant with extensive experience placing people like you with the perfect franchise to manage. Not just one to get you in it, but talking to you, learning more about you, learning more about what your passions and your skills and your strengths and weaknesses are, and then putting you in the perfect place. MyPerfectFranchise.net. I apologize. MyPerfectFranchise.net. That's why we have it up on the screen. So if I make mistakes, then, you're not confused. Contact Andy completely free to talk to him, 404-973-9901. His services are 100% free. He's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. Check out the Blue White Illustrated message board. He is a lifelong message board member. Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net to get started today. So thanks again to My Perfect Franchise for being a sponsor of the recruiting show. He is a huge recruiting fan. He loves talking about this stuff.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I want to come to you guys. Fitz, I'm going to come to you. Opening thoughts about this weekend. What are your takeaways from what you gathered of players or wherever you want to start with how this weekend went for the Nittany Lions?
Well, they set the bar high last weekend, undoubtedly, with the 90-some kids on campus. That number was down this week, but it was still a good gathering of prospects. A lot of underclassmen. 2025, 2026 is coming through with offers and things of that nature. A couple of, centerpieces of the visit, Jalen Harvey back on campus, defensive lineman from Maryland that Ryan and I both have picks in for Penn State, just keeps coming back. I would expect him to continue to keep coming back. Jalen McClain. There are a lot of Jalen's on campus this weekend, by the way. Just it seems to be a very popular name in the 2024 class. The safety from Seton Hall Prep in New Jersey was back on campus. He's going to get an official as well this June. And Xavier Gilliam, that defensive lineman from Maryland, Ryan has talked about him pretty much nonstop for the last month or so, because he seems to be a guy that's trending up in Penn State's on Penn State's board. I think that there's a lot to like. So numbers down, and that's fine. You know, you're going to have that. He's just set a high bar the first week, so I don't know if that blew expectations out of proportion. But a lot of the guys that we expected to show up showed up. A couple of additions there. Peter Gonzalez from Pittsburgh, the wide receiver. Naeem Parrish, 2025 corner from New Jersey. But for the most part, the list pretty well locked in. So good weekend for Penn State. Think they impressed a lot of guys. And this is one that's probably not going to result in immediate commits, as I say that the second week in a row. You're looking mostly at 2025 and 26 at this point.
Yeah, we'll get to a couple 2025 and 26 guys in our final segment of the show, Beyond Blessed, where we talk about new offers as well. But Ryan, any high-level thoughts about the weekend you want to set the table for before we get into some of the specifics of some players we want to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, 20-plus scholarship guys, good number again. Ask a lot of schools in the region, and they would love to have 20-plus scholarship guys on campus every weekend. So I think that's important. Trey Potts was here, potential transfer prospect. From Minnesota, from Williamsport. We'll see where that goes. I would expect him to have multiple scholarship offers. So there was a potential transfer portal guy on campus this weekend. Let's see. I need to get in touch with Jalen McClain. I think Jalen McClain's a very important prospect for Penn State at corner. Is he a corner or safety, Sean? Are we listing him as a corner?
Yeah.
I think he's 6'4", right? He's massive.
Yeah. He's a good player. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, are you a 4'4 guy or 4'6 guy? If you're 4'6 mm-hmm. guy, you're probably a safety, and that's oversimplifying it, no doubt. But mm-hmm. like, I don't think he's the burner that, that they've taken at corner there. So yeah, I would label him as a safety. He told me his trip was great and then followed up for the full interview. And that's the last I heard of Mr. McClain. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Hopefully we catch up with him today.
I apologize. Yeah, I was thinking of a different prospect. He's Jalen McClain, 5'11", very different than 6'4".
Marcellus Nash. So you're thinking of
Jaden. Yes, there's Jalen's, there's Jaden's. There's a lot. There's a lot of Jaden's.
I knew it was going to get me. Ryan, you were saying.
Last thing I would just would say is just Sean hit on a little bit, Xavier Gilliam. You know, I don't have a pick in for him right now, but I think all things point towards Penn State. Came on campus this weekend, verified from what I was told, at least, sounds to be right around a little under 6'3", 260. Can certainly add on some weight as well, but this is the player that I think Penn State has decided to push their chips on. He is going to go down south for a few schools, see a couple of North Carolina schools. I know he said Cincinnati's also in the mix, but Penn State's the only school he has an official visit set with right now. And honestly, you know, from talking to him, I was trying to get more on other official visits and things and what his plans are. And, you know, whatever kids tell me, I just want to get through the spring and then I'll figure things out. Gives me the impression that he could potentially be a guy to watch for a commitment before we get to June. But let's see, maybe as I say that, he'll probably set up a couple official visits and things will change. But either way, I think if Xavier Gilliam's not in this class right now, I'd be pretty surprised.
Well, let's jump ahead a little bit. I want to get into the defensive tackle prospects then. We're hitting on Gilliam. This is obviously a huge part of this cycle. It's not just defensive end. We've covered it on multiple shows. Defensive tackle as well. Another one of the Jalen's fits that you mentioned, Jalen Hicks. What were you able to learn about Hicks, and what are your thoughts on that recruitment?
A little smaller than listed. I think he was listed himself 6'4". He's about 6'2". So that's typical this time of year. 256, and that's fine for a defensive tackle at this point. He plays on the edge at the high school level. We will see where he, how he eventually grows. But this is a guy that's there's a lot to like there as a raw prospect. I don't think he's going to be the top guy on the board by any stretch. But you can see in looking at his film, he's got some pop. He's got some things that jump out. And I think he's been a guy that's been on the radar for a while. Penn State offered, I believe, in February. So still building that relationship with Deion Barnes. He was very impressed. He I mean, when you're gauging guys on who gets back to you right away and in quality responses, Jalen Hicks was right up there this weekend. So it's just a veritable smorgasbord of defensive tackle body types in this class. Because we mentioned Gilliam, 6'3", 260. You mentioned Jalen Hicks at 6'2", about 255. And then you go to a guy like David Polypoly, who I know talked to Ryan this weekend about his visit list, and he's, you know, 6'3", 300 pounds. So there's a lot of guys that there's a variance of body types here. And for Penn State, who's going to take probably three or four defensive tackles, or maybe even more, because you take into account those big defensive ends that eventually turn into defensive tackles. I mean, it's something that you're looking for to spread that board out.
Yeah, one thing that's I find very interesting is I'm seeing more and more when I'm watching film, a lot of high schools are going to a three down front. And I think it might have to do a lot with the spread proliferating at the high school level and becoming a little bit more efficient, where it's not just, you know, kind of at these levels, it's becoming a little more well taught. So you're going to be finding some of those five technique tweeners that are really being pushed to develop and grow, where maybe in the past they would have either been a defensive tackle, defensive end, and had to make some body choices. So you got some real tweeners here in the class, which is both good and bad because Penn State has been targeting those guys over time anyway. Now they've got a little bit of a different skill set coming into college. One guy who does not have he is clearly a defensive tackle is David Polypoly. Ryan, you have talked to him. What were your impressions of your conversation with David?
Well, David, to clarify, David wasn't on campus this past weekend. David set a visit schedule, which is why I posted a story on him the other day. He's going to Pitt this upcoming weekend. He has another trip to Michigan, I believe the weekend after that, so April 7th. Pitt will be April 1, and then he will be at Penn State April 11th. He tweeted that out the other night. So Polypoly's gotten some really impressive offers here over the last, I don't know, 2 months or so. You know, to me, I would have, like, from just talking to people, I think I would have Gilliam a little bit ahead of him. And then you have, you know, obviously a bunch of stud players like Ernest Willard, maybe Ume, depending on how he grows, a couple others that I would have ahead. But, like, at the end of the day, if Polypoly really wants to come to Penn State, I think that's something that Penn State's really going to have to have a hard discussion about. And I would still probably lean towards them taking him. I don't know. I just think it's hard for them to pass up a kid from Hempfield. But you know, that a lot of that's also going to determine on when the player commits, who all's already committed. You know, all those right. kind of things kind of go into it. But we know he's coming back here on campus in a couple of weeks. You know, as I said though, man, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Auburn. I mentioned Michigan. Obviously, he's going to go visit. Like he's really added some quality offers of late. So. Just curious to see how this progresses. I actually kind of thought he would get out and see more of those schools. I don't think he has been to Pitt or Michigan yet. So, I think he has been to Pitt. I know he hasn't been to Michigan, but either way, I was kind of surprised that he's maybe not going to go see a couple more of, you know, like a Notre Dame or some of those Southern schools. But we'll see. Maybe he'll take him a little bit down the road. But I mean, Sean, just do you have any thoughts on Polypoly, man? Like, I think like right now they would like, don't want to run into it, but I feel like this is going to be a guy they have to seriously consider at some point.
I mean, you look at what they've done at defensive tackle and on all the complaints about not being big enough and everything like that. And this is a big kid, strong kid. There's a lot to like. Yeah. So you question what the holdup is, because there is some sort of holdup. They're obviously not, you know, full bore on him, whether that's size, strength, I mean, whether they
I would contend – length might be the issue. Like just looking at him film, I that would be the concern I have right away. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of a similar player. You look at what Devon Ellis has been at Penn State, kind of the similar body type, but at the same time fits in this class. We talk about they're going to take a bunch of guys. You would be willing to take a risk on a guy that maybe you're not 100% sold on if you're taking three or four, right?
And that's my argument here is like, you know, okay, so can he act on the Ohio State offer? Probably not. But those schools are getting in because 6'3", 300 pounds and can move a little bit. You know, those guys are hard to find. So get in there while you can, sort of put the wedge in the door there and see if you can get in. So it's a very curious approach by Penn State. Obviously, they've seen something. I look at a guy like, do they think he's a guy like Moba? You know, like that isn't doesn't mm-hmm. have that that next level to him in terms of being mm-hmm. raw. Like it's because Mulva was very athletic, but like very raw in his movement skills, very raw in a lot of ways. And if you can polish that guy up, and eventually he can be great, absolutely. But you know, there's that other side, which it doesn't always happen. So that's the curious thing there. I think Pitt's in a good spot, to be honest with you. I think Pitt is a guy, or Pitt is a school that would take him right now, and they'd be pretty happy about that. And I think that they've recruited him as such. So I think Pitt would be the school to look to right now for Poly Poly. And like I said, I can't pinpoint on why Penn State is just kind of lukewarm on him. And you know, for the position that they're in, for the fact that they're going to take four of them, you would think they would be a little bit more all in. So something's, I don't want to say something's up there, but something's definitely got them pausing at this point.
When it comes to the defensive tackle board, I want to just kind of put a button on this issue and then add on one player here from the chat. Do you feel optimistic now with Deion Barnes locked in place, and it feels like things are starting to kind of fall into line, more optimistic or less optimistic than you were to start this conversation about the defensive tackle position, where Penn State can land one of these, two of these guys, three of these guys, where they finally, after a couple of years, have a very solid defensive class? Ryan, I know the answer is it's early, but positive feelings coming out of this weekend with some of these guys on campus and some of the information you gathered about Poly Poly, or where are you on that?
You know, I feel like they have to land a Benedict Ume, an Ernest Willer, a Nigel Smith, a Jordan Thomas, right, Sean? Like you need, I feel like, one of those high quality, you know, top 200 players. If you can get one of those four, obviously two of those four would be awesome. Then, you know, going for a Poly Poly, going for Xavier Gilliam, you know, some guys that need a little more polish. I think it looks good. But the issue for a while now has been you've been taking a lot of those high three-star guys that need some more work, you know, that, you know, 7 out of 10 boxes are checked, but you're missing a couple of things. And look where Penn State's at because of that right now. Like I'm not saying it's a massive issue for them, but you know, stopping the run, how many times we've seen this over recent years, you know, they need quality interior defensive linemen right now. So I think it's really important for them to try and get, as I said, like an Ume, a Jordan Thomas, you know, Nigel Smith's a player who's expected to come back. He's from Texas. Do I see Nigel coming here? I don't. I think he'll end up at some other schools, but you can get one of those quality guys. Then I think you can fill them in with some other regional guys who certainly have the size and other things, but you know, maybe one or two boxes are left unchecked.
The next player I want to get to is defensive lineman, so fits perfectly in this conversation, sort of. And that is Javonte Waller out of Mississippi. Steven wants to know where Penn State stands with him. This more the conversation about Waller, I think, is important here because 247 has him as a 5-star now. We can have a conversation about that. Fitz, when it comes to your opinion or where you view him as a prospect, he's blown up. And I really like him as a prospect, but I think he's going to take on an outweighted importance or impact when Penn State sees him as a linebacker and maybe some places see him as a defensive end. What's the landscape changing with Waller now and kind of the recent publicity he's gotten?
With the recent publicity, you know, that's going to cause some schools to go back and see what, you know, maybe see what they're missing. You know, he went to a few schools this winter and honestly, like they weren't treating him as a 5-star, you know, I guess we could say it like that. Penn State kind of was, he, like I said, he came in, what, Ryan, he was 6'3" when he visited here and he left at 6'6" or so. So right. Like that's going to, you know, change some things. That makes him a linebacker prospect. You know, he's not an edge guy. Like he's a guy that can attack off the edge. Absolutely. I think he's a will at Penn State. You know, that's kind of where he fits in. But it will change some things. It will change some things for schools boards in terms of where they see him, because, you know, if he was 6'2.5", great, put him at defensive end, he'd be fine. But at 6'5", that changes some things. The arm length, all that kind of stuff goes into it. So that helps, honestly helps Penn State because he's so far away. You know, he's a great player, great prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd be the top guy in Penn State's class right now pretty easily. It's a situation with a lot of math involved in terms of staff evaluations. And that's interesting to me. I don't know if it's most interesting to people, but, you know, Penn State really did a great job in not only showing him a very good visit, but also prioritizing him to the level where it's going to stick in his head when he moves forward and starts setting these official visits. That mm-hmm. is something where he felt cared about, whereas some of the other schools came in and saw him at 6 foot and said, I mean, we'd like you to be a little bit bigger. And that's not obviously what people want to hear. So I think when you're talking about Waller, and Ryan's done a phenomenal job covering this one, Penn State securely in the mix there, going to get an official visit. It's a long way away. We're not going to sugarcoat that. There's a lot to overcome coming up from the SEC country, deep SEC country. I think Penn State has done pretty much all it can to position itself in the front of that recruitment right now.
For sure.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you have to add?
I'll jump in. I didn't want to, sorry. I can't laugh right now. I will start coughing crazy. Look, two things I just say. One, do I think Penn State is in a very good position right now? Yes, I do. Two, though, their competition is going to be a bunch of SEC schools who have not talked about NIL with him yet. Enough said. I don't want to get too excited because I know what Penn State can offer, right? And he'll get good money here. Trust me, money I would love to have had when I was younger. But the schools he's going to compete against are probably going to throw hundreds of thousands of dollars at him. So that's just a decision that he and his family are going to have to make at some point. Do we love Penn State and these, what they offer and their coaching staff over money that could quite frankly probably be 3 to 4 times as much as what Penn State could potentially offer? So that's just that's how I see everything right now. Yes, be excited about what Penn State's done. Watch his film. It's incredible, right? I mean, his film is one of the most fun films to watch mm-hmm. this year. So be excited about the fact that he's coming back. But remember, when you get to the end of this and money starts being talked about, that's when the real decision is going to have to be made.
Yeah. Everything is blown up around him, and I think it's interesting to just revisit what he is to Penn State, and set the record straight. I think a lot of people see Jamonte Waller and they're going to think 5-star defensive end, and I think it's very important to reset what he is and isn't to Penn State, which is also, by the way, and I always comes off this way, is like, it's not what you think. It's like, no, it's also still very important. It's still also a very mm-hmm. highly rated prospect. Steven says, just a thank you for the content on this sunny Pennsylvania day. Always appreciate Steven. Always appreciate his donation to the channel. The next thing I want to get to is some of the reaction that you guys gathered from Penn State prospects that came up this weekend. I noticed one thing. Staff relationships are always the number one thing, but number two coming in, Fitz. This is something that we talk about in a big sort of broad sense when we talk with Nate or with you guys about the important things about recruiting and checking all the boxes. But now we're seeing the rubber meet the road with the facilities. How much did guys talk to you about that?
That was surprisingly a lot. Like you know, we've talked about facilities a bunch, but like this weekend, it seems every kid that I talked to mentioned it. And that's not always the case. And new weight room, you know, you've got some new bells and whistles, a nice, you know, the facility looks much nicer than it did even a year ago. So there's a lot to like there. But yeah, I think it's more of a compare and contrast situation when you're putting schools side by side. It's not so much about who's got the best weights and who's got the best space and things like that. It's like, this school certainly put in the effort to get where it needed to be compared to a Clemson, compared to an Alabama, compared to that. And, you know, that really wasn't always the case when you're talking about Penn State. So I think it's an upgrade in terms of putting them beside their peers. And, you know, it's a necessary upgrade. You know, we were in the weight room a couple of weeks ago for that lifting thing. So much more space. It just seems like a more productive space for everyone. So I think that's, important to take away. But even the little things, lighting, like it's brighter in there. It is not, you know, when you take the walk down that hallway in Lash, it's like old carpet and all that kind of stuff. And you walk into that new part of the facility, it's just different. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just different. So I think that facilities is something that they have, I don't want to say tried to hide in the past, but like they've pushed people past it undoubtedly. Now that they've started to get things going, you know, you kind of have a little bit more flash, have a little bit more substance in that visit thing. And again, it's important to talk context here. There is substance in that. Having a nice weight room is going to mm-hmm. make your players lift better, be healthier with the nutrition bar and things like that. So there is substance that goes along with the flash. And I think that that's when you're spending as much money as they have on updating Lash. I think that's something to keep in mind.
So the return on investment seems positive so far. We'll see where it actually lands when it comes to, you know, landing recruits, and it'll never be the only reason. But Ryan, kind of just the same question, your view of how prospects viewed this and how your interaction with them, how this came up. That wasn't even a question. Good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, good. I mean, the one thing I would say to this, though, is they're talking about it more because I'm asking them about it more. I mean, that's, I'm the one asking the questions, right? Same with Sean. You know what I mean? Like, we're asking about it because it's new.
What's funny is, so Bo Jackson hit me up yesterday, the 2025 running back from Ohio, and phenomenal time at Penn State. Entire staff was amazing. The third thing he went to is the new facilities with like three eyeball emojis. So like something either caught their eye or was, I don't want to say pushed to them, like that this was the new facilities. Naeem Parrish was the same. You know, these guys mentioned it because I usually ask about staff. What did the staff have to say to you? Watch them practice, what stood out and all that kind of stuff. And the facilities is not really something that I go to. Maybe that's in your deck of cards and I should add that to mine. But like it was brought up on like sort of unprompted. And I think that that's good in terms of what the pitch is to these guys. I see that the comment here, maybe the staff is just pitching the more facilities. Yeah, I think so. Like it's absolutely possible that they're going in and now highlighting things and saying, hey, this is what we do here at Penn State. Whereas before, you know, kind of scuttle them past. And again, it's tough to explain this to people that haven't been in that weight room, but the old weight room, there's a lot of stuff in there and it was tough to get around and, you know, through those lanes and things like that. Now it's open. Now the lights are out. Now the speakers rain down ungodly loud music on you from the top, from the ceiling. It was pretty insane when we were in there a couple weeks ago and it's open at the end. You've got this, this little turf bit and, you know, it's tough to explain. And unfortunately we were not permitted to provide a tour or do photos or anything like that a couple of weeks ago of the actual facility, but it's much nicer. It's like, I like the old weight room. I'd love to have a weight room like that, but it's much nicer in the new one. And I think it sets up to be a little bit more open and a little bit more, more loud.
Another area I got to see at, the Thon Day was the players lounge. Another area that I think is a huge update and a huge benefit to the program is now you have an area where it's like player centric with games and video games. And they had the basketball hoop shot arcade game in the back, like just a little bit of everything to however you want to compete. James Franklin's all about competition. I noticed a lot of stuff that would make an 18 or a 19-year-old psyched to see at a facility. So the weight room especially, but then some of the other smaller things I think are also part of that conversation as well. Ryan, you were about to say.
Just flat out, most of these guys came here before the weight room was done. Now they're coming when it's done. Like, that's why I'm asking this question. This is a brand new big thing. Penn State put, what, $40 million into this or something like that? I mean, like it was... And that's just why for me, like, I think this is a topic to discuss now, because again, they were here while it was under construction or they didn't get to see it before. So it's one of the new flashy, fun things, that we can talk about. Go ahead, Sean.
And I'll add that before, the weight room was part of that Lash building. Like it was part of the Lash building. Now they've built it out and it's a feature of that build. It looks like a different building. It looks like a modern building now. It looks like there's a lot of things that went into it. So I think that, you know, kind of takes away, took up half that parking lot that used to be there. So like they definitely put a lot of time and space into it and could see them hooking it to Haluba eventually, if they keep Haluba, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but more modern and brighter. Like it seems simplistic, but brighter, and these lights are everywhere and it kind of, you know, highlights, it just sticks in your mind. So I think that stuff, and we've probably spent too much time talking about the facilities aspect of it, but that stuff it's important to stick in the memory more so than just, you know, I saw this guy lifting these weights and it's really cool that they have the Penn State logo on these weight caps and things like that.
Again, just go research Georgia's facility. Are you guys if you're trying to compete with Georgia and all these schools, just go research it and then research Penn State and, you know, what fans have seen in the past. It's a massive difference.
Yeah. So let's get to our final segment of the show where we preview the next round of potential Penn State visitors. These are players that have received a new offer from Penn State football. It's beyond blessed.
About the future of Penn State, there's a lot of excitement. This is a really, really important day to a bunch of young men and their families.
The main thing we want to get out of this for Penn State fans is we want to put as many of the interesting or as many of the new offers in the same place as possible so you can get introduced to these players. So this isn't going to be an in-depth breakdown from the guys because admittedly some of this stuff is new. We're still researching them. We want to make sure you at least have the information of who was offered by Penn State recently. So guys, where do you want to start when it comes to these names? Because there are some interesting ones that I think we can talk a little bit more about. And then some guys here on film that are just ridiculous. So, Fitz, where do you want to start when it comes to the player you want to go to first?
Let's start at quarterback. Keldon Ryan, 2025 quarterback. Penn State continues to expand that board. This is a guy that, if you're reading Chad Simmons' update in mid-March, he talked about visiting Penn State this spring. Has got a good offer list. Has got Michigan on there. He's got some really good schools. Not the pocket passer that we associate with Mike Yurcich, a good athlete. When they continue to expand that board in 2025, I think this is a kid that's going to make it to campus. And when you look at the list of guys that they offered this week, probably the most realistic to make it to campus and you know, at least turn some heads. So I would say Keldon Ryan, good prospect in the 2025 class, is the name that jumps out at me from that list that you forwarded along.
It's interesting. You mentioned not exactly a pocket passer. He's a scrambler, though. I like the way he keeps his eyes down the field. And we talked to Mike Yurcich about throwing motion and mechanics. He's got a quick release. Got to get a little more detail, a little more film work on that. What you're seeing here is what I've seen so far. But I'm intrigued by a couple of his physical skills in the pocket as well, in terms of scrambling and, you know, great athleticism. Ryan, any thoughts on Ryan?
Yeah.
Or do you want to move on to the next guy?
I mean, I'll be honest. Ryan's like the only one I know anything about. if I'm being blunt with you guys, I've been so focused on the guys visiting and stuff. I haven't dug into these guys much. But I mean, Keldon Ryan camped at Penn State last year. Sean, did you mention that? I'm sorry if you did.
I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah, he camped last year, July 29th. And I'm very kind of surprised Penn State didn't offer him sooner. I mean, the only thing at 6'1"-ish is where he was last year. You know, like to see a guy a little bit taller. But dude, I remember him camping because I remember I think he put out his testing times or something. Somehow his testing times got public. And he ran a 4.5 40 and a 4.3 shuttle. Like, dude, this guy's an athlete. You know, obviously they wanted to see film. I mean, it's a quarterback, right? So, you know, they obviously want to see how he progresses with his arm. That's first and foremost. But, yeah, Keldon Ryan came up and was very, very impressive last year. So this is a guy that, you know, I see coming back to Penn State, as you said. Still kind of think those Southern schools are going to have a bit of a advantage with this one. But just the fact that he camped at Penn State last year just shows that he does actually have genuine interest. But make no mistake, it's going to still be hard to pull him out of Texas.
Another thing that I think is really important, just kind of, as you mentioned, he's from Texas. He is from Keller, Texas, 6'1", 190, not ranked by any of the recruiting services outside of Rivals. So still 2025 prospect, not surprising, but also not one of the early guys that raced out to an obvious lead in recruiting when it comes to the quarterback position, which we focus on quite a bit. So still a long way to go in terms of his ranking and all of those things in the On3 profile.
And let me correct you.
You're going to say it. Yeah. Go ahead.
If you're watching this in about 3 hours from now, that's going to be different. So The On300 for the 2025. Actually, I guess, he will be ranked here soon. Just check back a couple hours from now.
Yeah.
All right. I love that when I accidentally preview news. I love that. Who are we going to next?
I got one more here that's actually not on your list, unfortunately. Okay. Kind of went under the radar. Bryce Jenkins, defensive tackle from Washington, D.C., Friendship Collegiate Academy. This was a guy that was up last weekend. Penn State actually offered the following week, I think March 22nd. Big boy. 2025 prospect, 6'4 plus, 312, big hands, big arms, big everything. Just a massive kid. Was surprised that they didn't offer him when they saw him in person, but I think they wanted to check and see, is he a guard or is he defensive tackle? They offered him on the defensive line. An interesting offer list so far because he's got Penn State, Maryland, Rutgers, And Alabama has come up and offered him. Ole Miss is also in there. Minnesota in there as well. So just an interesting one. He used to be at DeMatha. He transferred over to Friendship where he's at now. But just a big, big kid. And we talk about getting bigger in the middle. Bryce Jenkins would fit the mold of like elite size. Like this is a guy that's like got everything that you would want, although he's a 2025 prospect. So we will see where it goes with him. He was like at practice, checked some things out, enjoyed watching Deion Barnes and things like that. Talked to him last week. But Bryce Jenkins, when we're talking about new offers, he's a guy in the region, you know, not far from Penn State that would move the needle in this manner.
A couple of guys, we'll get to a 2026 guy at the end, as we should, because 2026, but a couple of 2024 guys that showed up here. Out of region, so probably expected that you'd get them an offer now, but Joseph Kreier, he surprised me when I turned on the film this morning. He is huge and super athletic, or at least he's very violent out of his stance. Anything pop out about Kreier to either of you guys? Ryan, do you have any, Fitz, do you have any thoughts on this offer?
This is the first film I'm seeing of Kreier, so I have nothing to offer.
I mean, T. Frank, what I would say here, and this is the same for Draylon Miller as well. Penn State, these offers at this stage to a 2024 guy, I kind of look at them as just visit invites more than anything, yeah. Right? I mean, they're trying to get these guys on campus for whatever reason it is. They haven't offered yet. You're not going to get any quality 2024 guy on campus at this stage that you haven't offered yet, unless he's very close or you know, grew up a Penn State fan or whatever it may be. So, you know, Kreier, we have listed at what, 6'4", 290. Tells me Trout's trying to get accurate measurables on him. Sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth. I can't tell at the moment. But, you know, Michigan State, Nebraska, LSU, Missouri, you know, he's visited all those schools. I just look at this as Trout trying to get him on campus to actually see, you know, is he 6'2", 290? I would assume he's more of an interior guy, but, yeah. That's really what they want to figure out here. And then Draylon Miller, I assume this is a guy Higgins has identified, but at the same time, he's already put it out there that LSU and Texas A&M are pretty much battling for the top spot. He's a top 100 prospect top 200 prospect for On3, top 100 in the On3 industry rating. I don't know. I mean, I don't see much coming from this. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's put it, but there it seems like Higgins is at least aiming high here. And that's kind of what I thought watching this film is, oh, okay, so this is what they're looking for and they're going to shoot for it. 6'2", as you said, I think 6'2", 190. He's got a 92 overall, 157 in the On3 ranking, 75 in the industry ranking. So a really good football player, obviously really great. He's an athlete, number four athlete in the nation, according to the industry ranking. So a valuable piece that you're trying very hard to get on campus.
And it's not going to work here, but you've got a window at receiver and defensive line where you can go to kids in March that you haven't offered, like top kids in March that you haven't offered, and say, hey, we didn't offer because the old guy didn't want you, but we want you now. Like if you just missed on it or you're behind or something like that. So like you've got a window where you've got an excuse here. Maybe it's true. It's probably not. But that's how you can get in there with those kids and maybe say, hey, the old guy wasn't a fan of you. I don't know how that works with Deion Barnes, who was there the entire time evaluating prospects as well. But you certainly, you know, I don't think kids are overthinking that one.
The last guy, and I'll just take the lead on this one, Maxwell Riley. He's out of Ohio, class of 2026 offensive lineman, 2026, and he's already 6'5", looks like this, plays like this, excellent technique. So all of those things considered, he's in Ohio. This is just trying to get in as early as possible and stave off any lead the Buckeyes might have on a guy who clearly, I don't care where he plays, this dude looks like a player. Is this out of the playbook of just trying to get in early and build that relationship to make it matter, Ryan?
Sure. Also came about a week after he visited Ohio State. 2 weeks after he visited Ohio State, excuse me. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, obviously, I'm not like Penn State didn't make a mistake here in offering too late, right? He's a freshman. But, you know, Ohio State's already offered. Let's see. I mean, I'm sure the kid will visit and let's see where things progress. But Ohio State doesn't offer too many in-state guys as freshmen, you know, just because they recruit so much nationally, right? They don't have to, and they have the pool that say they offer an in-state guy a little late, they'll still be in a good position. So, yeah, we'll see. Miami, Florida State have also offered, but come on, man. But this is
don't know where he's going to play. Served up for that. Got a pretty good idea of where he's going to end up playing.
Yeah,
so, yeah, he's 2026 kid in Ohio with an Ohio State offer, and unless he goes down in the trajectory in terms of his progression, then yeah, I think it's pretty cut and dry there.
At the very least, you'll know his name now, so that later when it comes up, you'll be like, oh yeah, we learned about him 2 years ago, because he seems like a name you're going to have to remember at some point in his career. So that's enough of pumping up a freshman. So any last thoughts here on the show, guys? Appreciate the time. If you haven't yet, subscribe to Blue White Illustrated here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you enable notifications so when we go live, you get the notification to come join the channel and ask your questions. We had an awesome chat today. Thanks to everybody who participated. And I don't know, apparently we have to have a memorial show for the beard, because can't pay attention to anything because T-Frank's beard is gone, R.I.P. So I apologize.
You look like you're 24. You're a decade younger, dude. I don't know what else to say.
24. I'm using it as a de-aging. I'm going to sell it as a de-aging product. Just grow a beard and shave, and people will think you look so much younger. Oh, your skin, you look so young, vibrant, and all you have to do is grow a beard for 6 months or something like that.
Last thing, I'll get in some recruiting stuff here. Quentin Martin's on campus this week, or on today, excuse me. We will certainly be reaching out to them to learn more. And the On 300 for the class of 2025 drops at noon Eastern time. So check back on the site in about an hour or so, and we'll have an update on Keldon Ryan, where he ranks, because he will be in there. And so is Bryce Jenkins, by the way. I was going to interrupt you there, Sean, but bunch of those guys we're discussing will be in that top 300 here. And as I said, it's a release at noon Eastern time.
Fitz, any last thoughts?
Nope. Just check out our stuff on BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. There's a lot of stuff going up. And like all of our stuff, follow our stuff, and check out that subscription special if you haven't yet.
Yeah, and if there's any breaking news this week, of course, if you are subscribed to Blue White Illustrated here on YouTube, you'll get it. The next thing we're going to be doing is the live show on Wednesday, recapping Penn State practice, which comes up tomorrow. The news never stops. The information never stops. We're still processing some stuff from Pro Day, so make sure you subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. A lot of great stuff coming up this week, including Penn State football, like the team proper. We'll be talking about them Wednesday morning on the show. So join us then, 10 a.m. Until then, we'll talk to you later.